It's easy to get caught up in the Samsung news cycle this time of year, but this, the newly announced OnePlus 12, I think deserves just as much attention. I'm gonna say something a little crazy here, but I think that this phone, in mid-January 2024, already has a very good chance to become top three smartphones of the entire year. Let me explain. First of all, I mean, it comes with a proper box. I mean, it is mostly a waste of space, since this entire insert on top is just filled with booklet after booklet, like we're still in 2002. But then underneath the phone, there is not just a USB-C cable, but also a top-of-the-line 100-watt charging brick, which does sweeten the deal. Oh, and the phone also comes with a pre-applied screen protector, which is not an assumed thing anymore. And as we go through this phone, I just want you to keep in the back of your mind the price. Because even though I will be comparing it to phones like the Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra, the iPhone 15 Pro Max, unlike those phones, which are $1,200 plus, this is $799. And for that, it doesn't just pass, it absolutely nails the six core pillars of a great smartphone. Design, battery, screen, software, speed, and camera. But that one comes with a catch. So, this is what the phone looks like. And to be honest, I love how confidently they've designed it. You've got this chrome rail on the sides, which then melts into the back. You've got a matte marble texture, which feels a bit plasticky, but looks ultra premium. And then a separate glossy marble on the cameras, which is even paired with a smattering of glitter. This thing has the character of one of those insane collector's edition phones we'd unbox in the rarest phones videos, but it's not one. Plus, like past OnePlus phones, it's nicely curved, it's rounded, it's comfortable, and it's got an alert slider on top, which I can see the appeal of as a way to shut your phone up while it's in your pocket, but I don't think I'd ever use it while the phone's in my hand, since there's no way that, like, this, yeah, there you go, is easier than actually just tapping a virtual button on screen. However, the phone does actually fix a separate problem that I have been having. You must have tried at some point using a touchscreen when either your screen or your fingers are wet, right? And noticed how even a single drop of water is enough for your phone to think there's another finger on screen and all hell to break loose. Well, the OnePlus 12 has AquaTouch, which is a customized display chipset that pays very close attention and can differentiate between the two. Now, it still can cause the occasional screen spasm like that. This is not your new diving companion, and sometimes the fingerprint scanner doesn't work when the phone's wet, but it is 90% there to just being able to ignore that water, which, as someone who catches up with the latest news in the world with Pokemon while having a shower, feels so freeing. It's like finally after 10 years actually getting the full benefit from our phones being water resistant. Thanks, Milo. The only thing that stops this design being absolute top tier for me is that the phone is not the prettiest from the front. The top corners look a bit like ears because of the way the screen curves away on the sides, and you've also got that classic oversized bottom bezel, which frustrates me a little more each year as more and more of the competition start to do away with it. But now is where the phone starts to really separate itself, with pillar number two, battery. It feels like battery life is one of those things that almost every manufacturer is just scared to give you too much of. They'll happily give us 2x the screen resolution or 5x the camera resolution we need, but not battery. Maybe companies are worried that you won't keep upgrading if your battery stays good, or because, God forbid, they might have to make the design 0.1 millimeters thicker to accommodate it. Regardless, the OnePlus 12 is one of the few standouts, and I rate it for that. It comes with a 5,400 mAh battery. They've gone from zero wireless charging capability to now supporting extremely high power 50 watt wireless charging, which can fully charge that massive battery in less than an hour, although it does require a specific OnePlus charging stand to get that speed, so I'll probably just stick to my standard Qi charger. It's got reverse wireless charging to top up your friends' phones, but then also, you know that 100 watt charging brick that we got in the box? That can take your phone from 0 to 100 in 26 minutes. So compared to current iPhones or even the new Samsungs, the battery experience here is a tier above, all completed by one very important final extra layer. Battery health. Realizing that this is very fast charging and such a powerful phone with the potential to generate lots of heat, the company has also built in a separate power management chip, which effectively decides at any given point in time, using the data from 14 temperature sensors around the phone, plus one in the charging brick too actually, exactly what speed to charge at, to ensure that your battery stays at the optimal temperature to both receive charge quickly, but also not get so hot that it's going to damage the battery. Now, every battery loses capacity over time, but OnePlus is saying that this mechanism, combined with some very cool software trickery, which I'm getting to, all pulls together to make the battery deterioration the slowest here that it's ever been. Meaning that even after 4 years of daily use, they're saying this phone will still perform like a brand new phone with a 4,350 mAh capacity. So will still easily last a full day, which is absolutely insane if true. So yeah, I mean, if you want to see an update video in 4 years' time, then a sub to the channel would be everlasting. But seriously, while it's hard to obviously test them on Earth, and they're definitely giving a best case scenario, there is definitely reason to believe that OnePlus knows how to optimize battery efficiently. I mean, this thing, especially after a couple of weeks as it learns your patterns, is the best battery life of any phone I've ever had my SIM in, with really minimal standby drain. You can leave this phone overnight and literally pick it up where you left off the next morning. And then you turn the thing on and you're greeted with Pillar 3. The screen. This phone alone breaks like 18 different smartphone display records in one go. It's a 120Hz QHD plus resolution panel, with more importantly, a new pixel structure. Because you can have lots of pixels, but it's also about how those pixels are arranged. And this blue diamond layout is optimized for better contrast and readability. Are you going to be able to tell? Probably not. I mean, I put it side by side with other phones using different layouts and nada. But to be fair, this arrangement also improves the longevity of the screen versus a lot of others. It's got LTPO 3.0, which is the newest tech that lets phones scale their refresh rates even more precisely to match exactly what you're doing. It's all about wasting as little energy as possible. But then, you want to know the craziest bit? Guess the max brightness of this phone in nits. If you've been following phones over the last few months, you might have seen a couple capable of over 2,000 nits for the first time ever. Well, the OnePlus 12 can go to 4,500. 4,500 is an absolutely bonkers number. Like, I've never seen anything even remotely close to that in my life. No TV, no monitor, nothing. It's so bright that, to be honest, it's gonna have absolutely no bearing on your day-to-day use of the phone. And you'll only ever reach it while watching specifically high dynamic range content while outdoors. But, you know, if you end up in the scorching sun of the Sahara Desert with nothing but your OnePlus 12 and a pre-downloaded Mr. Who's the Boss video, well, hey, you're gonna get the full experience. Oh, but there's another side to it too, and I appreciate this probably more, that as you go dimmer on the phone's display, as you dip below the 70 nit mark, the phone is gonna switch over to 2160Hz PWM dimming. What on earth am I talking about? Well, okay, quick lesson. Old phones used to have LCD displays, which is essentially a white backlight that shines onto colored pixels. And the way that you change the brightness of that LCD is just by reducing the power given to that backlight. But then we started getting these fancy OLED displays, which are way richer and more vivid because every single pixel is its own individual LED. But the problem then is that if you try to dim an OLED in the same way as you used to dim your LCD, by just reducing the power you give to the display, then because each pixel is responsible for color as well as brightness, you also damage the color reproduction at lower power levels. Like, your greens might start to look like grays. So many phones now use something called PWM dimming, which means that when your phone screen is on, what's actually happening is that that screen is flashing on and off very quickly, faster than your eyes can see it. And then as you lower the brightness, your pixels aren't actually getting dimmer, but just the gaps between the off and on states are just getting wider. Your phone is spending more time in the off state and so appears to be dimmer. Cool, so problem solved, right? Well, not really, because most Samsung and Apples, they do this refreshing either 240 times per second or 480 times per second, which, while fast, is not fast enough that your brain doesn't subconsciously pick up on some of this rapid on-off flashing. So it can lead to headaches and strain, especially at night just before bed. So OnePlus has decided to use both DC dimming at higher brightness levels where you're not at risk of ruining your colors, and then when brightness gets lower, PWM dimming, but at 2160 times per second. Best of both worlds. And combined with a filter that reduces blue light on a hardware level, this is a screen that is both visually exceptional and also very eye-friendly. And fun fact, is also easier for us to film because it's not constantly flickering as the brightness gets low. Plus, the display is protected by Gorilla Glass Victus 2, which, while not the absolute latest and strongest glass from the company, is more than strong enough to theoretically survive a pocket height drop without a case. Please don't try it. Then you've got number four, the software. This phone, and its Oxygen OS 14, is an absolute delight to use. And I do have a couple of gripes with it, but they're all just small aesthetic things. Like, for one, who decided that square icons were the way to go? And why in the settings do I have every other option apart from circles? Like, how do you actually manage to get squircles, octagons, and rhombuses, but not a circle? I have no idea. And just generally, I don't think, ever since OnePlus merged with Oppo, the software has looked as good as it used to. Like, the icons, yes, but also the menus, the app drawer, it feels more like an Oppo phone than it does a OnePlus phone. Look at this notification, the fact that the name of the group is cut off, to the completely unnecessary arrow, and the icon that's covering some of the message, it could be better. Thankfully, these complaints are only skin deep, because as soon as you delve a little deeper, I gotta hand it to them. The software on this OnePlus 12 is one of the most thoughtful, useful Android skins I've been on, in ways that have actually made my life better. Like, let's say you wanna do a screen recording. You can now actually add your front camera footage to that feed. Of course, when you're using the phone with one hand, instead of having to enter what can be quite a clumsy one-handed mode, you just swipe up and every icon on the page comes to you. This has become my default way to navigate now. And quick launch, which means straight from the fingerprint scanner, if you carry on holding down, you can go right into any app you want, leapfrogging you past any potential distractions on the way. So I've set mine up to do all the key work things that I tend to use often. Plus, it can even do actions like start a new Google Doc. And the software is just intelligent. It does a lot of clever things that you don't think about, but the fact that you don't think about them means that it's doing its job. Like, for example, it'll reduce your notification volume and your vibration intensity when you're full screen in an app, because it knows that when you're full screen, you're looking at your screen anyway, so you don't need to be blasted, and you probably also don't want to be blasted. When you lift your phone up to your ears, it'll automatically answer an incoming call, and it will also switch you from speakerphone into your earpiece. And Fluid Cloud, which is basically another Dynamic Island clone, but hey, it lets you keep up with what's happening in a way that saves space on screen. Still a good feature. I wish it worked for more apps. It seems to be quite specific right now. But the phone does all of this while also making sure that any apps you've downloaded are not misbehaving. Like, I've had a couple of notifications come up telling me that, say, Instagram is draining too much battery in the background. And with one tap, the phone will just start clamping down on them from now on. Still letting them function if they need to do something in the background, but just not letting them take the mickey with it. It's quite satisfying. It's just disciplining them on your behalf. And like every single option with regards to customizing the way your phone looks or functions, OnePlus just hands it to you. No extra apps needed, even granular control over things like your status bar and your fingerprint scanning animations. My entire first day with this phone, I was just navigating settings. There's that much to do. There's a couple of cool but probably unnecessary features, like this shelf, which OnePlus encourages you to set as your swipe down option instead of your notification bar, but meh. I mean, they're more background status things that you check way less often, so I never felt like I needed instant access to them. And the other is anti-peeping notifications, which when you set it up, uses your front camera to see if someone else aside from you is also looking at your phone. And if they are, it continues to send you your notifications, but just in a less revealing way. Very cool idea, but I don't think it's something I'm going to use. I mean, naturally, that's going to drain a bit of battery, and I feel like it only requires a very basic level of awareness to know when someone's staring at your screen. But the big new thing that complements this whole software experience is basically the biggest vibration motor that OnePlus has ever used, which means your phone can really pump out the haptics. So that typing, the registering your fingerprint for the first time, deleting a photo, the phone feels like it talks back to you in a way. You really feel the, oof, maybe I shouldn't have deleted it. Oh, and I haven't even talked about the best bit of this software, the sheer speed of it. And that's pillar 5. So the OnePlus 12 is powered by the Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 chip, which is good. I mean, it's a very powerful chip, but also it's a 2024 flagship phone. I'm not surprised by this fact. The thing that I'm actually most excited about is all the stuff that the company's done around that. And I'm not even talking about the minimum of 256 gigs of ultra-fast storage they give you, or 12 gigabytes of ultra-fast RAM. See, what makes a phone really fast is part hardware, but also part software. Think of it like your phone is a whole bunch of layers, and every time you ask it to do something, many of those different layers have to communicate with each other to deliver an output. Like, let's say you plug your phone into charge. The first thing that realizes it's being charged is the hardware. That hardware communicates with the Linux layer, which is the baseline of Android. That Linux layer communicates with the Android layer, and that Android layer communicates with the app layer to stimulate a response that you can see, like that little lightning symbol becoming visible. You know, people say that Apple's key advantage is that they build both the software and the hardware together. Well, the reason that's so advantageous is that it means they can create really clear, efficient communication between these layers. That's why iPhones have been very smooth even when they weren't powerful, and why they get far more battery life for each milliamp hour of physical battery that they have versus other phones. And so, OnePlus is trying to do the same thing, and they're calling it the Trinity Engine. Instead of just focusing on making the very top layer work and assuming the rest is fixed, they're working across all layers to create software that better understands the exact needs of the hardware and vice versa, allowing the different parts of the phone to work smarter around each other. So that your CPU is only ever exerting exactly the amount of power that it needs to, that your RAM actually understands which apps to keep preloaded and ready for quick use at all times and which to close as soon as you exit them. So assuming you use your camera a lot, for example, it'll open rapidly. And that your phone's memory can defragment itself to counter the inevitable performance loss that happens in the long term. There's a lot of jargon and marketing fluff going around with all of this, but the important thing, and what I can say for sure, is that this is the fastest Android experience I've ever had. And I've called plenty of phones fast before, but this is fast in a way that makes it feel like it's not even trying. Like, one thing that it doesn't seem to matter how powerful Androids have gotten has always lagged is flicking around the Google Play Store. Not here. Everything is so fast at loading, and the animation so fluid and unbroken that at times you almost forget that you're actually going between separate applications, and your entire phone usage just starts to blend into one seamless, buttery smooth experience. And then for gaming, it goes one step further. Well, actually about five. This phone has a secondary coprocessor called the Pixelworks X7 that works alongside its main chip to do more. Like improved hyper-rendering that, without any input from a game's developer, can increase the resolution that the game runs at, add frames into the game to make it run smoother, and also extend the game's natural dynamic range. And put all those things together, it's actually crazy to see it in action. You can pick up a 10-year-old Android game, and the phone makes it feel like it was made yesterday. And then, on the other end of the spectrum, when you find a game that already looks good, you can see it both taking the visuals to another level, while also making absolute mincemeat of it. Hyper-rendering plus adaptive frame booster equals happy gaming time. This phone can actually run any game at 120 frames per second, even if not originally designed to. That is awesome. But there's more. There's Hyper Boost, which is your phone not just detecting that a game is being played and telling your CPU and GPU to go forth and power through, but the Android layer specifically understanding what the exact needs of the game are in that given moment and communicating that very clearly to your chip. Which can mean that in a less demanding moment, your chip can dial back, relax, and cool down for a second, only for when the action picks up again for your temperatures to be cool enough that your chip has the headroom to actually just go for it. And it's all assisted by probably the most advanced cooling system to ever exist on a phone, outside of those specialist gaming phones. It's got the largest vapor chamber in the industry, which is essentially a metal canister containing a liquid, which, as the phone heats up, turns to gas, cools down again, and condenses. Plus, it's got aerospace-grade thermal performance gel to aid heat conduction further, and in total, here's the shocking stat to me, no less than 38,000 millimeters squared of heat dissipation area, spread across five layers on both the front and the back side of the phone. To be very clear, 38,000 millimeters squared, considering what the size of the phone actually is absolutely insane. And the benefit of these dissipation layers being both on the back and the front of the phone allows it to get rid of heat in two directions at the same time, compared to most phones which just have one outlet. And then the final cherry on top for this whole speed experience is Wi-Fi 7, Bluetooth 5.4, and then just the fact that the phone has 360-degree antennas for 5G and Wi-Fi, meaning that you won't have a signal interruption if you, say, flick your phone horizontally to game. Now, before we bring this all together, we need to talk about the most contentious pillar. The cameras. And I say contentious because OnePlus doesn't have the best camera reputation. And in a way, when I use this phone, I can see why. Like, for starters, the front camera is just mediocre. And I don't mean mediocre because it does lots of face smoothing to make you look nice. It's also just washed out. Like, it can make you look weirdly pasty and sometimes even overexposed indoors when it's not even that bright. And then look how much the photo changes after you take it. I mean, in a way, it's impressive because there's so much processing happening, but because the OnePlus is doing such little of this processing in real time as you're shooting the stuff, the shooting experience itself feels really unpolished, and the photos don't look good until you've taken them, which is part of the reason why I find myself taking like three shots of every single scene, just because I don't completely trust that I've got a shot that looks good. And it's not just that. Because there's not much real-time processing happening, video suffers. Do you see how, while the iPhone in this case looks like it genuinely understands the scene and my face, the OnePlus very much looks like it's just taking it as it comes. Like, the exposure of the entire scene shifts completely as the light around me changes. You'll notice the electronic image stabilization goes for this ultra smoothed out look, which can be awesome when there's lots of light, but without it, the phone continues to try and recreate that, but without the light information to be able to do so. So you just get tons of weird artifacts and blur. Oh, and finally, the focusing can sometimes also let you down. You might know that Samsung, for example, they use a laser to get exact focus distance. OnePlus doesn't really have that. And while you probably won't notice if you're coming from another phone without it, I can feel its absence. So there are things that could do with fixing. And what kind of annoys me about recent OnePlus is that it feels like instead of actually fixing them, the company instead just tries to lean more heavily into their partnership with Hasselblad, as if that's somehow gonna make it better. I mean, this is what a Hasselblad camera looks like. Realistically, how much is that company going to be able to help you with your phone? They're very different things. Okay, I realize I'm absolutely dunking on this, but it's because I care. It's because these are issues that I keep seeing on OnePlus phones, and if they could just focus on them, their phones could skyrocket in value without costing anyone anything. And also because, aside from these niggles, this is actually a really good camera system. The hardware is a pretty big upgrade over the cameras on the OnePlus 11 in every sense. It's actually very similar hardware to the cameras on the more recent OnePlus Open. Similar main camera sensor, same 48 megapixel ultrawide, same 64 megapixel 3x telephoto lens, plus a coating that supplies to the main lens that reduces glare and apparently further increases clarity. And that is interesting, because while I wouldn't say that I was blown away by the Open's camera setup, that was a different set of circumstances. Before I tested the Open, OnePlus was hyping it up as literally the best set of cameras on a phone ever. And also the phone was $1,700, so, you know, my expectations were here. But the OnePlus 12, as a phone that's not just good, but actually also amazing in every other area, and that cost $799, which is less than half, well, that same camera quality here, that hits very different. It captures quickly, it gets tons of natural background blur thanks to a wide aperture, and it's pretty color consistent too. There's actually a color temperature sensor hidden in here too, which when you take a photo, collects 13 channels of color info to refine the end shot with. And it's like 98% perfect, but every now and again, the skin tone will just look, well, Hasselblad. You get an overall natural looking shot, but with an ever so slightly cooler tone and an ever so slight extra pop of color. I really love the way it shoots, to be honest. It makes me feel like an artist, especially with this 64 megapixel 3x zoom lens. I've kind of fallen in love with this lens. It's great for people, it's great for flowers, it's such a naturally pretty lens, especially with OnePlus's color tuning, that you can just take photos of even those boring things looking their absolute worst, and it still somehow looks professional. I guess the point is, cameras aren't the specialty of this phone. And if you're someone who's picking a phone half for the cameras, then it's worth spending more for a Vivo or a Samsung or an iPhone. But at the same time, they're not bad. I wouldn't say this is like a tier below the base level Galaxy S24, which is like the same price. And it's definitely not outright worse than an Asus Zenfone that you might get for the same price. So, if it wasn't clear, I think the OnePlus 12 is a killer phone. There isn't much in the way of cool AI summarization features like you get with Samsung, or hyper-intelligent cameras like you get with Google, but in terms of the cold, hard fundamentals, this thing pretty much nails every single one. But if you do want to see what paying more for a phone gets you, then here's my video on the S24 Ultra. I'll catch you there.